Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of the WC Radio Network.
WCRN, changing the world you listen to.
Coming to you live from the Wicked Curiosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am your host, Dan. Joining me in the studio tonight is the beautiful Miss Angel.
Hello.
And you can join us as well. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. That'll bring you right into the studio with us. That'll bring you in live with us, and you can talk to us about tonight's episode.
Yes.
Social media. We're on it. Facebook and Instagram. All you got to do is go up into the search bar. Type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. We'll be the first one that pops up. Click like, share, and follow. And be kept up to date on everything going on in Behind the Screen's world. Also, head on over to Wicked Curiosity Radio Network's Facebook page and YouTube channel. You have to type in Wicked Curiosity Radio Network for the YouTube channel, but for Facebook, if you just start typing in Wicked Curiosity, it'll pop up. Give the page a like, share, and follow, and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That way you can be, you know, in the know on everything that is happening within Wicked Curiosity. Look, we've only got a couple more weeks of 2019. 2020 is going to be a monumental year for Wicked Curiosity Radio Network, so you're going to want to keep up to date on all the changes that are going to be happening. So you're going to want to subscribe to the YouTube channel and, you know, follow the Facebook page so that you're kept up to date. Also, head on over to Angel's Hand Facebook page. Give them a like, a share, and a follow. Be kept up to date on everything that's going on in their world. Mainly because they're the ones that pay our bills. And they're kind of cool.
Yeah,
they're kind of cool. So, it's been a while.
It's been
more than a week. It's been almost 2 weeks. It's been a week and a half.
Was it?
We didn't do a Cinephiles last week. We weren't able to do a Cinephiles last week because we took the family to go see Santa Claus and to go see the magnificent lights that they have here in Eastern Tennessee.
Yeah.
And we, Sunday, we were actually in Nashville for, you know, all afternoon and into the, you know, late night.
Late night. I'm still recovering from Nashville. However, Nashville was, it was a win for us. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, I'm in awe at the sheer amount of Christmas films there actually are. There's no way that one person could ever watch every one of these.
Yeah, we could.
Insane. Anyway, so we went to Nashville for a cheer competition because Dan is, you know, he's a cheer dad. And,
It's true. It's official. I have a cheer pop socket on my phone now.
Yes, and the Godfather actually has a shirt that says Cheer Godfather, which is pretty cool. That's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. One of a kind.
Yeah. So, hope that goes to him. Anyway, we were there. We left here at like 12 o'clock. Drove to Nashville.
Noon.
We did not.
Noon. Not.
Like 12, yeah.
Yeah, in the afternoon. Noon. We're on noon.
We did not get home until about 1, 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
On a Sunday, which is definitely a school night. We had another mom and her cheerleader with us. So they didn't have to go by themselves. And her, when you're on a team, sometimes you have to push through.
Yeah.
And her daughter was sick. She's pretty sick. And so she rode with us. And, you know, this poor girl had been fighting a fever for a couple days, but pushed through, did her stunts. And then on the way home, she was, you know, running a fever again, and we all know the chances we take. We didn't take the rest of our kids because we already knew Sophia was exposed. Most of the other girls have been exposed at school anyway.
Yeah.
It's going all over the school. So, and I really didn't want six kids in the car for that many hours. But.
Plus three adults?
Yeah.
No.
It would have been a lap. Everybody would have been a lap. But the girls went, they competed, they took fifth place at state, and it was just announced yesterday that they are actually heading to national. They won their bid to nationals. So come July, we will be heading to Michigan for yet another cheer competition. It remains to be seen how we will be getting there, you know.
I mean driving.
Maybe a tour bus, maybe our own vehicle, we don't know yet.
I'm taking my own vehicle. I'm not going on a bus with a bunch of, you know,
I think it would
elementary
good.
School,
I
middle
think
school.
It would be good for the girls to all ride together and not waste my gas.
But then how are you going to get around?
I don't want to get around. I want to go to the girls' station, go to the hotel, and go home. That's all I care
about. Me.
Room service, order in, Uber Eats, whatever. I don't need to go anywhere. In fact, can you imagine a restaurant seeing that tour bus like pull up? Oh, God. What is happening?
Oh, God, it's the tour bus. Oh, God, it's cheerleaders. Oh, my God, it's children.
And now, however, now we've been home for what? Today's Wednesday?
Uh-huh.
So we've been home for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
And last night, lo and behold, there was a vomiting child in my bathroom.
Uh-huh.
So, that's what I did today. Today I had Christmas parties at school and sick child.
I had work.
It was horrible. It was horrible. It's really bad when the teacher's like, is she okay? Her eyes look really sad.
She's got the sad eyes.
Oh, it's like, I mean, she got like fair sleep, so...
Yeah.
I have sad eyes, too. You just can't see them under all the bags.
My eyes always look like this. I always have the sad eyes. I don't know what to tell you.
And now we are gearing up for, like, I cannot believe Christmas is, like, a week away.
Like, literally next Wednesday.
I'm going to
1 week from today is Christmas.
I do not have the flu. I have Christmas fever. I'm going to vomit on myself.
I hope not. At least not on the air.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. And so...
I mean, at least it would, you know, make everybody forget your chair-breaking accident.
Shut up. I kind of feel like we need to, like... So there's a lot of things that are going to happen from here out. There's some Christmas movies we have not watched.
Uh-huh.
We have cookies to make.
Uh-huh.
We have cookies to decorate.
Uh-huh.
We have reindeer food to create.
Uh-huh.
We have so many things to get done in a week.
I've got fudge to make.
You've got fudge to make. I have a fabulous prime rib to make. Going to be lovely.
And clam chowder.
And homemade clam chowder. Yes, no Campbell's in this house.
No, none of that. Pop the can, throw it in the... No, this is a
Friday
homemade...
We'll be bringing home a truckload of Christmas food for to eat. Gotta make coffee cake.
Yeah.
And I still gotta finish shopping. What the fuck, man?
Can't forget the Baileys for Christmas morning.
So much money to spend. How has this become Christmas? Why is everything so expensive? That's all I keep telling myself. Like, I have been so frugal this year. So proud of myself. Super shopper this year.
Uh-huh.
And yet every time I have to get something else, I'm like, why the fuck is it so expensive?
Welcome to capitalism.
I hate it.
We could be socialist.
Would Christmas be cheaper?
No.
Well, that's not helping me.
No, well, while Christmas wouldn't be cheaper, and we wouldn't have the money.
What?
Because they'd be taking it from
then
us.
That's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. And for those of you who want to be socialists or think that socialism is the way to go, you might want to do some research.
I feel like there has to be a balance in there somewhere, though, because I do agree that health care and education should be more affordable. I'm $70,000 in debt from school, and I went to an online school. So it shouldn't be as bad. And yet, I'm $70,000 in debt. I do think that things should be more affordable. Healthcare should be way more affordable. No?
No, I agree. The problem is where is this funding going to come from?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that the rich people should fund it for me, and I would be happy. There's enough of them in America. Come on, Trump. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
He could give me healthcare.
Yeah.
Probably for another week or so, because he may not even be president anymore. I don't know.
No. I'm not going to impeach him. Okay, no, they're impeaching him right now.
Yeah.
They're not going to kick him out.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Is that, speaking of impeachment.
Okay.
Is this not something that we're speaking, what is, I hear you have a show you're guesting on.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to wait till the end, but no, we'll talk about it. So tomorrow night we are having the Opinion Battlefield. It has been kind of slow because Brian has... His co-host is indisposed at the moment. But I actually went to Brian and volunteered my services as a co-host for a particular topic.
Special time, though.
Yes. Time to be announced again. Follow, Wiki Curiosity for that.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night on the Opinion Battlefield, I will be a co-host along with the host of Opinion Battlefield, Brian, and we are talking about Time Magazine's Person of the Year, Greta Thunberg.
Oh, yeah. I feel like impeachment would have been a better topic.
Well, I'm not one to get into politics a whole lot,
I know.
It's
still kind of political, though.
It is political. It's actually very political.
Yeah.
So we are going to be, discussing that tomorrow night again.
Did you know that everybody has actually been pronouncing her name wrong?
Yes, it's actually
Greta
Thunberg.
Thunberg, yes.
Greta Thunberg.
It is not Thunberg.
No.
It's Thunderman or Thornburg.
Thornburg.
Yeah. It's Thunberg.
It's Greta Thunberg.
Yes.
Anyway. So, yes.
Do you have any other announcements to
me? But it's not 100% official yet because they can't get off their ass and do it. It is driving me nuts. But
it is official.
It is official, but it's not like, on,
file
official.
Okay.
Which is why I'm not like jumping up and down for joy yet. However, as of the beginning of this week, as of Monday, 9 a.m. I was completely and totally done with my schooling for my bachelor's degree.
That's awful.
I'm not. I don't even have any food. It's a cigarette.
We are so proud of you.
So graduating with a 4.0.
Yes.
Should be summa cum laude.
I guess we'll see once they actually make it official.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping. So yes, everybody out there in Wicked Curiosity Land, I am actually kind of smart just a little bit.
Well, yeah, like if anybody is looking for somebody with a bachelor's degree in business and soon to be master's degree in human resources, then, you know, this is your guy right here.
Well, yeah, pretty much. So.
Okay, so I was looking at all these Christmas movies because obviously my list is separated into, like, I don't know, four different categories.
Yeah.
Five, I don't know how many different categories.
We actually have the same list up right now, yeah.
Just the sheer amount of Christmas-themed movies out there is overwhelming.
It is.
There's a lot that I wouldn't watch because, like, if you look at the made-for-TV, that usually includes Lifetime and Hallmark. And Hallmark is huge, and I got that.
And so is Lifetime.
But there's too many Christmas movies I already love to take the time out of my life
to watch new ones.
To watch Hallmark movies.
Yeah, to replace them. When all these Hallmark,
like, six movies a year that they come out with, and
all these Hallmark and Lifetime movies, they're all the same fucking thing.
Well, they're usually romantic of some sort, or like orphan children. And I'm not saying that to be mean, but it's literally the same theme all the time.
It is the same movie rewritten over and over again.
Whereas if you get the theatrical movies, you know, usually it's an adaptation of something like The Christmas Carol or The Grinch, or it's something completely new.
Right.
You know, and so our house usually sticks to the classics.
For the most part.
Then we find something new that we're like, oh, I want to watch that one.
Yeah.
And horror.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know?
So, tonight we're talking about, 2 weeks ago, we did our favorite classics.
Yes.
And that's something that we know because these are movies that we grew up with.
Yes.
Tonight, we're talking about some of the best and worst
modern
which, Christmas movies.
If you look at the description for this week, it was not how I put it because I misunderstood. Also, we're kind of cramming in a couple decades in here because, the month is almost over. I don't really have choice.
Yeah, and this is going to be our last Cinephiles
of 2019.
We're still trying to plan a movie of the week for Sunday.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, everybody's feeling. We have yet to find out if the plague has actually hit our house, so we'll see how everybody's feeling.
Yeah, and we still have to roll the dice on what movies we're going to be watching because there's another one that came out that I want to see and review.
And finish spending shitloads of money. So.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. All right. So, tonight, we're going to kick it off.
Yes.
I'm going to start.
Go ahead.
Because there's one that I have to absolutely start with.
Okay. Are you starting in 2000?
I'm starting in 2000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to badmouth it?
Yes, totally. 100%.
And then I'm going to disagree with you.
Yes, I know you are.
Okay.
Yeah. So the very first one that I'm going to start off with is the Ron Howard adaptation of Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, starring Jim Carrey.
Okay. Go ahead. Do what you do.
So I don't know what the fascination is with remaking animated either movies or cartoons or shorts or something like that into a live action movie.
Okay.
I have yet to understand the fascination.
That's not because people like to see it live.
I mean, so far there's really only been one that I've really, really enjoyed, and that was Aladdin, mainly because it was shot for shot.
It was awesome.
And I love the cartoon Aladdin. I loved it. I grew up on it. The live-action adaptation of The Little Mermaid that was live on
TV.
That
wasn't even a live-action
adaptation.
It wasn't.
It was a stage performance.
Yeah, I don't even count that one because I didn't understand it. It was confusing. Yeah.
It was a bad Rocky Horror Picture Show ripoff of The Little Mermaid.
But you've also not seen Beauty and the Beast.
I haven't.
Much like Aladdin was shot for shot, and it was awesome.
And at some point, I probably will watch it. Beauty and the Beast was not one of my favorite
I loved it.
Disney movies?
Yeah.
But I do like, what's her name that plays Mel?
Yeah, Emma
Thompson. No, Emma Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a really good actress.
And she did really, really good.
She's hot. She's like 25, 26.
Well,
but anyway.
Christmas.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to start off with Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
The funny thing is that I just watched this today because it is literally one of the kids' favorite movies, especially the youngest.
And I can see...
He searches for it.
I can see how that would be for little ones, but for someone like me that grew up on the cartoon Grinch with Boris Karloff.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the original. That is the Grinch. You know? I mean, you had the songs, and they coincided with the movie, and it made you feel that Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
There is nothing, and I'm not bad-mouthing the guy, but there's nothing about Jim Carrey that screams Merry Christmas to me.
No, but I will say, I think that in this particular adaptation, I'm not a fan of Jim Carrey. I hate to say it, I'm sorry, whatever, but I'm just not. This is literally one of the only movies that I didn't see Jim Carrey. And I
see that's that.
I liked it.
For me, that's all I saw, because I grew up on Jim Carrey.
Yeah, I'm not a fan,
though. I grew up watching In Living Color on the side when my parents didn't know because, you know, they were...
He wasn't so over the top, though, on In Living Color.
Right. But when, you know, when I watched Ace Ventura and, you know, his movies after that, I mean, really the only one that was from his time period that was actually fairly decent where he wasn't this... over the top kind of person. Number one was the one where he, Man in the Moon, where he played Andy Kaufman.
I didn't like that.
I love The Majestic and The Truman Show.
I did not mind The Truman Show. However, 90% of his work I'm not a fan of. And so this movie in particular was refreshing for me. Because I liked him in it.
And see, for me, it was just the opposite. It was over-the-top Jim Carrey, and it was not up to par with Ron Howard's standards. I mean, when you talk about Ron Howard, you're talking about movies like Willow and Apollo 13. You know? I mean, this is Ron Howard. One of the greatest directors of our time, and he does a live adaptation of Dr. Seuss How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and it was crap. There was a backstory in there that nobody needed to know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we didn't need to know that the Grinch was the Grinch because he was picked on in school. You know, it was...
Yeah, I didn't mind it, though.
I didn't like it. It was too over the top. It was... And then at the end, he was still that Jim Carrey Grinch. So at the end of the cartoon, we have the Grinch sitting down with the people of, with the, you know, the people of Whoville and enjoying the roast beef and enjoying Christmas. And he's there with them. And he's joyous and he's laughing. Not laughing, but he's in the moment with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the live action, it's him being, for lack of a better term, stupid. You know? It's just him still being that Grinchy, the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Right.
You know? And it the ending is what ruined it for me. You know, it just wasn't, I don't know, for me, it was unnecessary, it wasn't good. I didn't like it. So, so what's in that, what's one on your list?
So, I don't think you've seen it, but there's all sorts of, like, the feel-good, happy, joyous, sweet Christmas movies.
Well, of course.
I'm not always a joyous, sweet person. I find humor in a lot of sarcasm.
Uh-huh.
And so, Bad Santa is, I haven't seen it in a while, but it's one of my favorites.
Okay, yeah, it's actually one that I have not seen.
Billy Bob Thornton is perfect in those roles.
Right.
He's gross and disgusting and manages to fulfill my sarcasm needs. And it was also one of John Ritter's last live action appearances before he passed away.
Right. Unfortunately, may he rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never saw the second one because I felt like the first one was enough for me.
Yeah.
But it had, who was the little...
Oh, yeah, I cannot remember his name.
Fox, right?
No. No.
Brett Kelly? Warren Thomas,
I'm not sure.
It had Bernie Mac in it, too.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it's not like a blockbuster movie. It wasn't a huge deal, but it was funny, and I liked it. If it was on TV, I would watch it again if I watched it from the beginning.
Right, right.
I also... Like, you and I just can't agree on Christmas movies.
We can't, because if you're talking about this next one, I'm going to bash it again.
It's Elf.
Yes, I hate it.
I love Elf.
Oh, my God. And I'm going to get so much flack from this, I know, because there are members of our family that absolutely love this movie.
I loved Elf.
There are parts of this movie that are okay.
I love Elf.
But this movie is just total crap.
It is not total crap.
It is. It is.
And it was directed by Jon Favreau. So, I mean, watch it anyway.
I'm not a huge, huge, huge fan of Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I don't get that because here you were a huge fan of Jim Carrey. But Will Ferrell is like 10,000 times funnier.
I was a fan of Jim Carrey in my younger days.
Okay, well, Will
that was like 20 years ago.
Still funnier.
In some of his roles. The thing is I don't... Okay. So when you look at comedy and you look at the evolution of comedy, specifically slapstick comedy, when you look at the greats... You look at Laurel and Hardy. You look at Abbott and Costello. And you look at the Three Stooges. That's slapstick comedy. That is those are the three that I judge all slapstick comedy on. Okay? And when you get people like Jim Carrey and Will Ferrell, and even... And I am going to go straight to hell for this. But even Chris Farley.
Oh, I loved Chris Farley.
I didn't say I didn't love him. But when you take these newer slapstick type...
Barely-ish?
No. Chris Farley was nothing but slapstick.
But Will Ferrell isn't.
He is. He is. It's all about the physical type comedy. That's what Will Ferrell does. That's the same thing with Jim Carrey. It's the same thing with Chris Farley.
Most of it was...
No, it was all physical comedy.
It was funny as shit. I don't care what you say.
It was all physical comedy. He's drinking syrup.
It was funny.
It's supposed to be physical comedy. It's supposed to be slapstick.
I don't care. It was funny. I loved it.
It's
I want
not...
Buddy the Elf.
It's not up to par.
I liked it. I thought it was a cute movie.
Now, if we're going with comedy and we're going with Christmas.
Okay.
Then we have to go with the next one.
Okay.
Which is Christmas with the Cranks.
I love Elf. It's a cute movie. I'd watch it. If it's on, I would watch it. But I've been searching all month on every single streaming channel that we have.
Did you search Amazon Prime?
I did not.
Okay, so you didn't search every one that we have.
For Christmas with the Cranks. Because It is one of my favorites.
Oh, I love Christmas with the Cranks.
Yes. It reminds me a lot, in a way, not completely, but in a way, it reminds me a lot of Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I'm a fan of Tim Allen, anyway. And it was one of the few movies that... what is her name again? It's not Jamie Lee Curtis, is it?
Yes.
Is it? It's one of the few movies I liked her in. Like, she's a very stiff actress.
Yeah.
She doesn't exude a lot of personality a lot of times.
Okay, it's not on Prime, but you can rent it.
I don't want to rent it. I just wanted to watch it. But this was one of the few movies, kind of like the movie she was in with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
True Lies. Yeah.
Where she kind of relaxed.
Yeah.
Where she was still that stiff, like, uptight person.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be part of the character.
Yes.
And I loved this movie on a level because it reminds me a lot of these neighborhoods with, like, homeowners associations. On top of the fact that they have kids. Their kids weren't coming home. They were going to be alone for Christmas. You know, hey, let's do something crazy.
Yeah.
Let's not do our Christmas party. Let's not even decorate our house. Let's not even put the tree up. Let's run away and go to, like, some exotic beach.
Yeah.
And just have a blast. And no, that is not what happened. Because
no.
The Homeowners Association attacked them.
Well,
stole
yeah.
their decorations. Because they were going to do it for them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your house looks stupid if everybody else is decorated and yours is the only place in one.
Well, not only that, but the Cranks always had... So they always had the Christmas Eve party.
Always.
They were the center of this neighborhood.
Yes.
Their house was always the best decorated. It was always the most lit up. Kind of like what ours used to be.
Yeah. Not so much this year.
Before I started popping fucking circuit breakers and shit. But, you know, they were the center of the holiday for this neighborhood. And then all of a sudden they're like, no. And, I mean, you can tell you can feel the disappointment in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you've got Tom Arnold in it, too, which just makes it all the better.
Oh, yeah. Especially with Tim Allen.
Yeah. You know, and not Tom Arnold, no. Oh, my God, I just lost his name. Shoot.
You're silly.
Well, I can't think of his name right now. He was in Spies Like Us. He was in the Blues Brothers.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, Dan Aykroyd. So, yeah, I mean, you've got Dan Aykroyd in there.
And he plays a really good, like, bossy, shitty neighbor.
He does. And, you know, of course, in the end, they all come together as a neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, it works out, but...
Yeah, and again, it's that true meaning of Christmas.
Yes.
You know, it does kind of portray the, you know, the lights and stuff like that, but it's the atmosphere. It's the feeling you get when you hold on to those traditions.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's what this neighborhood was trying to do.
Yes.
So. And then we come to one that is a staple in our house every single year. That we focus an entire night on. That, you know, I mean, other families have done it. And other families do
I think it's become... This movie came out in... 2004. So
Excuse me.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Schools participate in it.
Yeah.
If you live in an area that offers train rides, they participate in it. There's a lot of people, I think, like us, that have these parties.
Yeah.
And do these nights. maybe a little differently than us. I don't know. But it's been a big deal for us. This is our 7th year.
Yeah.
Doing it. Go ahead,
I mean, it's, you know, the Polar Express.
Right. And every year, we work really hard. And unfortunately, our house is not set up to hold a ton of little people.
We don't have the space to do the Polar Express night the way we want to yet.
Right. I mean, when we lived in different houses, space was different.
Yeah.
And we could kind of spread people out. But every year, you know, we selectively send out these invites and we kind of mix it up because we know as the years have gone on and our kids have gotten older, our teenagers are just as into it as our littles. So there's a group of teenagers that is a staple in this house. And
yeah.
They're going to come. And then when we invite littles, we have to expect parents. Parents are going to come.
Yeah.
So we need room for everybody.
Right.
And we put the movie on. I make homemade cocoa.
Homemade popcorn. We have cookies.
Homemade popcorn. We have cookies. Sometimes we have fudge. We always have candy canes. And the kids always leave with a Santa bell.
And they always get a ticket.
Yes. And it is so much fun.
And so the Polar Express is one of those movies that you can watch every year and love it every year.
And anyway, it's a long movie. Like, it feels long. We always take an intermission somewhere in the middle of it. That's when the kids come in and they drink their cocoa and have a cookie. They go to the bathroom. They get up and move around a little bit. And then we settle everybody back down for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. So it's become one of those movies that has ingrained itself into our traditions.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it would not... Christmas would not be the same without Polar Express night.
Right.
You know, at some point, we'll be doing it for our grandkids. And, you know, that's just another adventure to look forward to.
Right.
Are you having a hard time over there?
I'm trying. Some of these I've seen bits and pieces of, like Fred Claus.
So that's one of mine.
Okay.
I loved Fred Claus. It's kind of the, where Buddy the Elf was not like Santa's child.
No.
It kind of was the flip side of that movie because Buddy and that whole situation, his dad was super sarcastic and didn't want to deal with anything to do with Christmas. And then you have Buddy who's all nothing but Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to bring that in. And then in Fred Claus, you know, Fred doesn't want to deal with the North Pole.
Right.
Santa and all the crap that comes with it.
Right.
But his dad, you know, he's getting older and Fred needs to step up and needs to do things. And Vince Vaughn is funny anyway. I'm a fan of his.
Vince Vaughn's not a bad person. He's not a bad actor.
No, and so he plays this role really well, and I think it's a pretty, it's another one of those movies that you need to see.
Yeah.
You know, I love Vince Vaughn. I've watched him since he was in Swingers, and yeah.
Yeah. So the next one, I've seen once. But it's not a bad movie overall. It's got Vince Vaughn in it again. It's also got Reese Witherspoon, Sissy Spacek, Mary Steenburgen, Robert Duvall, John Voight, John Favreau, a whole long list of...
Of that cast, though.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a whole long list of cast members in it. And it's funny and dramatic and sad and happy all at the same time. It's four Christmases, you know, and Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon are married, or they're together. They're together. Not married, they're together.
Yes.
But each of their parents have divorced and remarried. So, you know, they want to go visit his dad and his mom, and then her dad and her mom, you know, all on Christmas Day, and they have to figure out how to go visit all four of these houses and how to stay, you know, not going crazy and all that. And it's kind of a I don't want to say cute movie.
Well, it is cute because anything, you know, you got Vince Vaughn and his personality, which completely comes out in this movie. But then you got Reese Witherspoon. And she, you know, she's more level-headed, and she is a little sweeter, and she is nicer, and she just wants this freaking work.
Yeah.
You know, and so I haven't seen this movie in forever.
Yeah.
It's one of those, there are so many movies now that when we go back and we look at the list of movies that are out there, like, we see the same movies played repetitively through the Christmas season when they have so many to choose from.
Yeah.
You know, that they could put out there and play again.
Right.
And this is not one of them that plays every season.
No. So, you know, I'm going through this list, and our list is going to be short for this show. Because, again, you and I are more traditionalists when it comes to Christmas. We watch a lot of our traditional Christmas movies that we grew up watching.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And the next one, honestly, the next one that I'm looking at, it's one we haven't seen yet, but it's one that I want to see. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Okay.
And it came out in 2017.
I don't remember hearing about that.
It was a very limited release to theaters, and you can't hardly find it on, Blu-ray in the stores or anything.
Which is really weird, because it sounded interesting when it was set to release. Like,
right.
They were putting out trailers and stuff for it.
Right. And so it's called The Man Who Invented Christmas. It's about Charles Dickens and his struggle to write A Christmas Carol.
My guess is that it just didn't receive the
attention
that they thought it would.
Yeah.
Because people don't care anymore. This would have been an interesting movie to watch.
Yes.
And interesting movies aren't fun movies. And so people aren't as likely to get out there and see them.
Right.
Which is a shame. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah. And then, because our list is going to jump around through the decades as we go through the different genres and stuff. So the next one is The Christmas Chronicles.
One of my new favorites.
That we watched, we watched last year, and we reviewed it last year.
Yeah, and I want to see it again this year, because I really did enjoy it.
I did. I was hoping that they would have a second one this year, but they...
To release next year.
Yeah. But, so it's about, I mean, it's got Kurt Russell as Santa Claus.
Which, it's funny because when you watch Rise of the Guardians.
Yes.
And you see that Santa, who's like this big, burly Santa.
Yeah.
And it's tough looking.
Yeah, the Russian Santa.
Yeah, I love him. And then we get Christmas Chronicles, and he kind of reminds me of that because he's definitely a tougher looking Santa Claus.
Yes.
And I loved it. Like, he wasn't a jolly old soul. He was Santa.
He was St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
You know, he was Kris Kringle. He wasn't Santa Claus, the jolly old elf. You know, he was this guy that got shit done.
Yes.
And taken care of. And made sure that Christmas was done.
It was a fun movie. I actually can't wait. If you haven't seen it, it's a Netflix release. And I 100% recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be one that sticks around, I hope. Because it's a fun movie, but it's good. It's an actual Christmas movie, you know, from the times of Miracle on 34th Street and, you know, all of the, I foresee it.
It could definitely be a new classic.
Yes, yes.
They just need to keep it on their fucking streaming.
Yes.
And probably release it to Blu-ray.
Maybe.
It would get more exposure.
Yeah. And then, you know, we reviewed the next movie a couple weeks ago, which was Noel. I don't know that I foresee it becoming a classic, but I do foresee it becoming popular and one that is watched.
I see it along the same lines as, like, Christmas with the Cranks and Four Christmases and stuff like that. One that people are like, oh, yeah, that was a good movie. But not one, not in the same lines as A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, The Grinch.
No, but I do
Elf,
see,
you know, ones like that.
On Disney Plus, and as long as Disney Plus sticks around, I do see it being in their holiday list every year.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, and it was a really good movie. Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader were really good. I like Anna Kendrick.
I do too, and she played that role perfectly.
Yes.
The role that was meant to be,
yeah.
She played it perfectly.
Absolutely.
So, I was looking at this, and it says, you know, there's all these Christmas Carol adaptations.
Right.
There's literally one after 2000, and
yeah. That's
A Christmas Carol, and that was with Jim Carrey. I never actually saw that. I wanted to because it was interesting, and again, I'm not a Jim Carrey fan.
Yeah.
But it was not live action. It was him animated as Scrooge.
It was similar to CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked interesting. I guess it didn't look interesting enough to force me to search it out.
Right. Right. I mean, it's on.
I still like to see it.
Yeah, I think it's on the Disney Plus app.
But not on the one on. I haven't seen it on the TV.
We'll have to look.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I don't know that it's not one that I'm like, oh my God, I have to watch it this year. But it would be interesting to see.
Yeah. So going into the next category is the Nutcracker adaptations, and there's a couple after 2000. Most of them are.
There was only one that I really
animated and stuff like that. Yeah, but so we have one live action came out last year, and we did a review on it.
And yeah, we watched
last year.
We watched it with the kids.
And we did. I think it was around this time that we reviewed it.
Yes.
And it's the Nutcracker and the Four Realms. And it was an absolute phenomenal movie.
I thought it was a great take on the actual ballet.
Yes.
I did. I thought it was a wonderful telling of the story that we grew up with. Because I grew up watching the one with I don't remember what his name is. Anyway, have to see. I don't remember. It was a live action, though, and, you know, I remember watching it as a kid, and it was set up more like the ballet.
Mm-hmm.
That you watched. Basically, you were watching the ballet on TV every year.
Right.
And this one came as close to that concept as it could, and it was really fun to watch. It was a really neat way to take that story and kind of twist it around.
Yeah.
And you saw different aspects of it. Like, you know, it wasn't just her in the house and watching the mice and the toy soldiers fight. You know, they took it to a whole nother level, and there were whole different characters involved in it. And I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. So before we continue, we do need to take a break. So
behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Strip it down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you loved me, you would hold me and never let me go. If you loved me, you would tell me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, I guess I don't.
Welcome back, and if you are just tuning in, shame on you. We've been talking about some of the more popular Christmas movies of the past two decades. Ones that, honestly, we've seen. And, you know, some of our favorites, some of our not-so-favorites. But if you want to call in and talk to us, you can, 718-664-9735. Also, head on over to the Facebook pages for Wicked Curiosity, Behind the Screen, and Angel's Hand. Give them a like, share, and follow. Be kept up to date on everything going on there. And Wicked Curiosity has their own YouTube channel, Wicked Curiosity Radio Network. You need to go check that out. So when we left, we were talking about some of the more feel-good Christmas movies. You know, Noel and The Christmas Chronicles and, you know, Christmas with the Cranks and stuff like that.
Well, interestingly enough, so I got a message from one of our listeners.
Okay.
And I didn't know what year this movie came out. I'm a little surprised it's not on the list.
Okay.
Was Reindeer Game, which was centered around Christmas time.
Right. I think that was more in the 90s because that
was
with...
It came out in 2000.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm actually really surprised. I just scrolled through the list.
Yeah, because that was with Dennis Leary.
It was with Ben Affleck, too. And
oh, no, Dennis Leary was another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Ben Affleck, yeah.
And it was one of, I'm just going to say, it was one of the few Ben Affleck movies that he was really good in.
I don't like Ben Affleck.
I know you don't, but he was good in this movie. And it had Charlize Theron in it and James Frain. Gary Sinise. It was a good movie. I don't know why it's not on there, but it was a action crime thriller. It wasn't. So Ben Affleck plays Rudy Duncan, who's just released from prison.
Right.
He wants to start a new life with his girlfriend, or the girl of his dream, who he met while he was in prison. She was one of those pen pal writers. But her brother, who is played by Gary Sinise, and his crew of criminals, who thinks he's got, like, some inside information about casinos, where he had a job before, you know, they end up attacking him. And, like, I think they were out in a cabin, if I remember correctly. And so there's a little bit of funny to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of action in it. You know, it was not a bad movie. I'll give it.
Good job. So now we go into my favorite genre.
I've not seen a ton of these, but
you've seen more than what you think,
okay.
Honestly. So now we're going into the horror aspect of Christmas, because, yes, there are Christmas horror films.
We love them.
Yeah, and they date back all the way to 1972. But we're not going to go through those.
No.
We're going to start, you know, after the 2000s. So the first one is one I haven't seen, but it's a remake, and then they're now currently doing another remake.
Okay.
It's called Black Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So in 2006, it's a remake of, you know, the 1974 movie, and they're just coming out with another remake of Black Christmas. So, it's, you know, it's about sorority sisters that are stalked and killed on Christmas Eve.
I think I do remember that one.
Okay, I don't think... I may have seen that one.
I think we did.
I think... Probably back when we first got married.
Probably, because it was already an older movie by then.
Yeah, yeah. But the one that I want to talk about is one of my absolute favorites.
Yes.
I followed this one from its inception. Much like Human Centipede. Because this was one of the very first Christmas horror movies that I got into.
Yeah.
And it's one of the first ones that you and I really sat down and watched together, really enjoyed.
Yeah, and the thing about it is a lot of these horror-ish movies tend to be not completely American.
Right.
And I liked this one, even though I can't see for crap.
Yeah.
But we have a big TV.
Yeah.
Because most of it is not even in English.
Well, the thing is, so we're talking about Rare Exports, A Christmas Tale. And if you haven't seen it, if you're a fan of horror-style Christmas movies, it is definitely one that you need to see, because it is a very, very different take on The Legend of Santa Claus and Krampus.
Absolutely.
It merges the two stories together. And it kind of builds on its own legend.
Yeah, there are still some things in the movie that I don't quite get.
Right.
What's that called? The area where they end up finding all the Santas.
Uh-huh.
Like, I still understand what that is.
Okay.
That warehouse-looking thing.
Okay. So, in the movie, we have this American company that is looking for... I think they're looking for oil or something. Or, no, they're actually searching for the beast.
Yeah.
Which is what we would consider Krampus in his style, but who was actually that area's Santa Claus. Because Santa Claus wasn't always somebody to be looking forward to.
Right, right.
In the old tales, you know, in the old world, he was this person that punished children. And then that evolved into Krampus, and you had St. Nicholas, who took over the Santa Claus-type role, you know, when you had the yin and the yang between Santa Claus and Krampus.
Right.
So they were looking for this creature, and they found the creature, because the early inhabitants of that area had managed to trap him in the mountain, freeze him, and then they buried him in the mountain.
Yes.
And so the elves, the people, the adults,
yes,
that looked like Santa Claus, the old men,
yes,
were actually his elves.
Oh, okay, that's right, okay.
Yeah, they're his... elves, they're his minions.
Yes.
They're the ones that would go out and steal kids.
Yeah.
Bad kids.
Yes.
They also were the ones that, you know, stole the heaters and stuff like that to try and melt the ice.
Yeah.
So that Santa Claus could come about. But then, you know, at the end, they defeat the bad guy, blah, 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 you know, the beast.
Well, it's kind of cool because it is a horror movie. And a lot of the attention is not centered on the adults in the movie.
No, it's centered on the kids.
It is. And there's, you know, the one kid who knows that something's going on. Something is wrong. His friends are disappearing. He wants to know why. He's scared.
He knows why, you know. And his name is Peter. Yeah. But he knows why. He has figured everything out.
But nobody will listen to him.
Right. Because he's just a kid.
And in the end, you know, it ends up being Peter that saves everybody and comes up with the plan for how to get to rescue the kids and to, you know, kill this monster and trap these elves. And, like, he's kind of a little, you know,
a little bad. Yeah.
Of this movie.
He is. And it's a really good movie. And the thing is, you know, you were talking about the fact that it's a foreign film.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember.
Well, and the thing is what always gets me, and it's not just Christmas, but when we look at these older stories,
yeah,
when if you can take the time, if you know, read subtitles and get into a story that's not American, they're so interesting.
They are.
And
they delve deep into regions, countries.
Right, and especially with and
I'm sorry, this is really loud. I'm pouring my drink.
You know, St. Nicholas. Nicholas. I would say Santa Claus and Krampus.
Yeah.
Those stories are super interesting.
Yeah.
This movie was the first time I saw it. I was like, I don't know about this one. It was really weird looking, and it had subtitles, and we did not have a big TV then, and so it was a little harder for me to follow. But over the years, as we watched it almost every year. I look forward to it.
The thing is there's not a whole lot of... There's not a lot of dialogue.
But you have to pay attention to the dialogue
that's
there.
Yeah. And I love and this movie as well as the Krampus movie that we're talking about here in a minute. And because they do these legends and they expose America. Essentially, they expose the Western world. They expose the Western hemisphere to the legends of ancient Europe, you know, and the ancient world. And some of those, because they still have Krampus Night in places like Austria, Switzerland, Germany, you know, especially in like the Black Forest and the old world, the old country, places in Europe where they still celebrate not only Christmas, but they celebrate Santa Claus, you know, on the, you know, on his birthday, on, you know, the 7th. And they also celebrate Krampus.
Right.
You know, we here in America have commercialized Christmas to the point to where it's nothing but Coca-Cola Santa.
Right.
You know, we know nothing of the old world traditions, the old world customs, where Santa Claus and all these traditions and all these, you know, everything that we do around the holiday season. I'm going to get on my soapbox for just a second.
Okay, and then I'm going to turn you around.
Yeah, that's fine. Because this and Krampus are a part of this. All the traditions that we do for Christmas, I'm sorry, you can hate me, they are not centered around Christ.
Well, no, it's the winter solstice.
Yeah.
It's pagan.
Sorry, Jesus Christ has nothing to do with Christmas. He has nothing to do with Christmas.
He wasn't born in December.
No, he wasn't.
It's a pagan holiday.
It still is.
And I definitely, when we moved to Tennessee, I realized it's nothing against anybody. I totally, absolutely 100% support that you should believe whatever you believe. It's not my place to judge you. I don't give a shit.
It is mine.
I don't care. You believe what you want. However, I don't like things pushed on me. And so when we moved here, there were some very pushy people. And I still remember, I don't think they came back last year, but for 2 years in a row, we had a group that would come to the door. I keep a big no soliciting sign on my door for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they would plainly say, we saw the sign, but we wanted to knock anyway. Because they wanted us to learn about the true meaning of Christmas. And I was like, yeah, I always do the fallback, and I put Dan on the spot because I'll just tell him, you know, we're an atheist house. And then I get the question of, well, how would you celebrate Christmas if you're atheist? Because we celebrate Santa in this house. I'm sorry you people can't celebrate Santa. Okay, we like Santa and gifts and cookies and cocoa and all the fun shit that comes with it. That's what we celebrate. Because in America, that is Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know what I learned? I learned a fun fact. Fun fact today. I've got a fun fact for you. I learned a fun fact. The Christmas balls, ornaments, the brightly colored ornaments, balls that we put on the tree.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what they are?
What are they?
They are witches' balls.
Yes, they are. I'm proud of you.
They used to be hung in the windows so that the brightly colored balls would attract witches. and trap evil spirits.
Yes.
And keep them from coming in the house.
Funny, because we don't really have any Christmas balls on the tree. But, yes, you are absolutely right. Again, pagan.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, it's the same thing with the wreath. People would give wreaths, pine wreaths,
yes,
as Christmas gifts to celebrate, you know, the winter solstice.
Yes.
It's the same thing with the pine garland. It's the same thing with the Christmas tree.
Well, it's all also this, a lot of times when you would get a wreath and you would hang it on your door, it would have different properties on it, which would protect your home.
Yeah. Almost like a dream catcher.
Yes.
And it was...
Those are the things that we kind of... I mean, we don't instill them in our kids, but those are things that I grew up with. And so... there are little things that happen that they might not catch, but will become tradition to them and will continue on in their lives.
Yeah.
And they will, help, you know, if they ever ask, then I will happily tell them. But there are a lot of little things that we do that are not the norm. We don't look at them in the normal way that other people do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, all these Christmas decorations that we put up have absolutely nothing to do with Christianity.
No,
it is all about the winter solstice.
Yeah.
It's all about
the... We have celebrated here. We have actually gone and done a winter solstice celebration here.
We have, and I enjoyed it.
Yes, and it was great.
It's all about, you know, Saturnalia, which is the celebration of the god Saturn, the ancient Roman god of Saturn. And it's all about ending the year on a high note.
Yes.
It is the end of the harvest. It is the end of... It is the end of one life and the beginning of a new.
Yes.
Now, that's not to say I don't have a nativity scene because I respect my children.
Yes.
And I respect your beliefs.
Yes. Well, I mean, mine is more tradition than belief.
It is,
you
because
know,
we also it. Have an Advent wreath.
Yes.
But again...
We're not.
It's a Celtic.
It's Celtic, but it is a Catholic tradition.
It is a Catholic tradition.
We have it
derived from pagan rituals.
Yes, and here's the thing. When my kids were little, we didn't actually go see Santa.
Saw Father Christmas.
We went and saw Father Christmas in a castle.
Which is more traditional than seeing Santa Claus.
And it was so great for them.
Yeah.
Because they looked forward to it every year because he was... It was different. It was different than the big jolly guy in the red suit. You know, it was such a serene and respectful thing to go and see Father Christmas. And it was first off, the pictures were way cooler because Father Christmas looks badass in all of his glory.
In a castle.
But that's who we saw every year. I never took them to Walmart or the mall or stuff like that, especially when we were in Oklahoma, because that's where he was, and we would drive for an hour every year to go to the castle and go see Father Christmas.
Yeah.
And eat, you know, stew out of a weird bowl because it was in a castle.
Speaking of old world traditions, we're going to...
Did we ever see A Christmas Horror Story?
Yes, we did. I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
But I want to talk about Krampus.
Okay. Which I have to say is one of my most enjoyed movies of the Christmas season.
So it's a comedy horror film.
It is totally comedy. I love this movie. So.
It is. It is hilarious. I mean, you got the little fucking gingerbread man coming to get people.
I think Liam actually watched this movie with us last year.
I think so.
And was not scared by it.
No, because it's not over-the-top horror.
No. It's not, like, bloody and gory and...
No, it's not. It's funny. It's creepy. But it tells the tradition... It tells the old-world story of Krampus in a new setting.
Well, because they have their grandmother there.
Yes.
Who is old-world.
Yes.
She doesn't even speak English. And she's trying to tell them the whole time that this is what's happening.
Yeah.
This is who it is. And you have to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, you're losing the Christmas spirit, and Krampus is going to come get you.
Yes.
Yeah. So, now let's switch gears to a completely and totally gory and bloody, fun-filled Christmas movie, Christmas Horror Story.
I just like it because William Shatner DJs it.
Yes. But it's interesting because it's another anthology movie, much like Trick or Treat.
Yes.
Where you have these different stories, but they all tie in at the end.
Called A Christmas Horror Story.
Yeah. It's called A Christmas Horror Story.
Yes.
Yes. And it is DJed and narrated by William Shatner. And what I love is that it does involve Krampus.
Yes.
It involves Santa Claus. It involves elves. It involves zombie elves. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it for you because that's what we do on these movies, on these shows. In the end, it is nothing but an old guy basically tripping balls.
Yeah, basically.
And it's a fun slasher slash gore fest movie. And I like it.
Well, I like it because it's not, it's other stories.
Yes.
You know, it's mini stories. And so you don't lose interest in something. You might find one in there that you're like, oh my God, this is fucking stupid. But it's only going to last a short amount of time.
And yeah, it's only going to last a few minutes.
Yeah, and I like those kind of movies because for those of us who have a touch of ADHD and have a hard time sitting through, you know, certain movies, it breaks it up continuously.
Yeah.
I like that. Plus, William Shatner does play a good radio DJ. I'll give him that.
So, I'm looking through one of these lists, and I don't see a whole lot. Because the necklace I want to save to the end, but I think that might be coming right now.
Well,
because I'm looking through this, and a lot of these I really haven't seen. And they're just not.
Well, we have, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2, Cousin Eddie's.
No, no, stop right there. Stop. You don't you ever mention that movie in this house ever again. That's the second time that I've ever heard of that movie. And the first time was on my morning radio show that I listened to.
Well, I'm very sorry that you didn't enjoy it. I mean,
it's like saying Christmas Story too. I will.
I thought that you would be, you know, I'd be right up here.
No.
You're...
No. So I'm looking at these, and I don't really.
I think a lot of it is because when we look at what they classify as family movies, we see a lot of so-called Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Like Santa Baby is actually, it's got Jenny McCarthy in it, and I've watched it a few times over the years, you know, over the years. And it's not a bad movie. It's kind of a take, it's almost like Noelle.
Right.
She's Mary Claus, not Mary Claus, but... She's actually Mary Claus because she's the daughter of Santa Claus. And she has to take over, his job.
Right.
And it's actually you don't see a lot of Jenny McCarthy movies anymore. She actually does pretty good in it. And it's an enjoyable, like, it's hard for me to be like, this is the best movie ever, because all my favorite movies are classics, but it is an enjoyable movie.
Right. So, I am going to go ahead and do these last couple movies, just because, as much as I don't want to admit it, I kind of like this trilogy.
Okay.
We discussed the first one 2 weeks ago. And we had to wait until this one.
Yeah.
So, I like Tim Allen.
Yes.
I do. I liked him in Home Improvement. That was UPS dropping packages off. We're going to go ahead and take a break.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Sorry for that abrupt commercial break.
I trust nobody, so if somebody drops things on my porch, like, I gotta go get them.
Yeah. That was UPS dropping something off at the front porch that we had to get, so we had to take a break. But we're back.
Okay, so, Tim Allen.
Just in time to wrap up tonight's show. We can spend the next couple minutes talking about this.
Go ahead.
So, when the first one came out, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because it was different, the Santa Claus. But then they came out with the Santa Claus 2, and I was like, are you kidding me right now?
I loved it.
I mean, it came out 8 years after the original, and I was like, but I really, you know, not into it.
I liked it.
But I watched it, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And then they came out with a third one, and I'm like, really? But then I watched it, and I liked it.
Yeah. And it was a different, like, so the third one was, like, completely different than the other one, you know, because with the first one, it was really just about him becoming Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it goes back to, you know, becoming Santa Claus and being a divorced parent and, you know, all those things that
go
along with it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the second one, this kid's kind of a dick. He's getting in trouble all the time. Now he's a teenager.
Yeah. Because he's got an absentee father, essentially.
Yeah, because dad's gone all the time.
And he's Santa Claus.
Yes, and he can't tell anybody. It turns out that that's the main issue, is that he's holding the secret.
Yeah.
And he can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
But then, on the other side of it, he has to find a wife, or he's not Santa Claus anymore.
Yeah.
And so...
it is the Mrs. Claus.
Yes. He has to fulfill these parts to these contracts.
Yeah.
And so... it was enjoyable. Then you get to the third one. And...
with Martin Short.
It actually focuses more on his ex-wife's daughter. That story was a lot more focused on her and his relationship with her and his relationship with them.
Yeah.
Along with his relationship with his wife.
Yes.
So...
and his wife is pregnant in this one.
Right. It kind of almost comes full circle.
Yeah.
You know, and... even though you've got Martin Short in there, he's this weirdo.
Jack Frost.
Yes. It still was a fun movie. Also, it never fails. When the 1st of December comes and all of these streaming services switch over and put all their holiday movies in.
Yeah.
It is literally the first set of Christmas movies that gets played in the house.
Yeah. It is. So, we tend to like trilogies in this house. You know, I mean, we love the Star Wars trilogy. I love the Star Wars trilogy, except for the, you know, prequels and the sequels. But we like Back to the Future. And so this is actually another, I would say this is like the Christmas version of Back to the Future. It's almost a perfect trilogy.
Yes.
You know, because you have the beginning where... he becomes Santa Claus. You have this perfect middle to where he has to continue being Santa Claus. But in order to do that, he has to find a wife. You know? And then you have the third one where he is kind of feeling the pressure of being Santa Claus. And wants to, it's almost a It's a Wonderful Life type feel to it.
Kind of.
You know, what if I had not put the suit on? What if I had not become Santa Claus? You know?
Right. Like, how would life be different?
Right. And you said it best, it actually comes full circle.
It does, especially for him and how his place in each of these families.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's important. And as well as, I liked the fact that when they introduced the little girl.
Yes.
the little sister, and that, you know, they had created another family.
Yeah.
That they took the time to really put some focus on her and his relationship with her.
Right, but that's not his daughter.
Right, but not only as him and her ex-husband and the father of her brother,
yeah,
but also as him as Santa Claus.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite things. This is really one of my favorite things about this whole trilogy is that they do a lot of focus on family relationships.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
And these movies have been around for so long, and every single one of our kids watches them every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we watch them multiple times. If there's nothing else on, I can easily just go in and start with number one, and we just watch them straight through.
So, but it is, and it is actually the perfect way to wrap up this series for the Cinephiles.
I thought that you had another movie you wanted to talk about.
No, this was it.
I thought you said the next one.
No.
You totally did.
No. No. I have no idea what you're talking about
with
the necklace.
You actually said those words? You were like, oh, we'll talk about the necklace. Or did you say...
Next list. Next list.
I'm going to drink my soda.
You drink your soda.
It's the ears.
We'll go with that.
It is the perfect way to wrap it up, though.
You know, and it's actually the perfect way to wrap up, you know, the Cinephiles for this holiday season. Because we won't be back on the Cinephiles until after the new year. So let's get right into those. So, we are coming to the end of tonight's show.
Shorter show.
It is a shorter show, but we do have a lot to do tonight.
We do, and I have a sick little one.
We have a sick little one that we have to go take care of. Stay tuned again tomorrow night, times to be determined.
Yes.
Where we will be, I will be guest starring on, I don't want to say guest starring because that sounds weird.
You will be guest hosting.
Guest hosting on the Opinion Battlefield with Brian.
Yes.
Where we will be talking about Greta Thunberg.
Yeah.
And her winning
Person of the Year.
You know, Time Magazine's Person of the Year. It's going to be an interesting show. I'm hoping to get a couple different people and a couple different opinions on there. So if you want to chime in, if you want to talk about it, if you know somebody that feels deeply either way about it, tune in tomorrow night. Again, stay tuned to the Wiki Curiosity pages. Wiki Curiosity page, because it will be posted there as soon as everything is set up. I'm not sure if we're having a note by note on Friday. I got to get with the guy in glasses. I guess we're not having a note by note on Friday.
Station owner has already talked to the host, and unfortunately, the guy in glasses will be out of town this weekend, and there will not be a note by note.
Oh, well, the guy in glasses sucks. So, okay. So, we are having an Opinion Battlefield on Thursday. No note by note on Friday. Tentatively, a movie of the week on Sunday.
To be determined.
To be determined. However, if we have a movie of the week on Sunday, that will be the last broadcasted show on the Wiki Curiosity Radio Network for 2018.
2019.
Yep, that
I don't
one.
Know what year you're living in.
I have no idea. I'm living in the past.
Yeah.
That will be the last broadcasted show for 2019, and we will return after the new year in 2020 with a movie of the week to kick it off. Because we will not have a movie of the week between Christmas and New Year's, because there's way too much to do. So again, stay tuned to the Wiki Curiosity page for updates on everything that is happening. Remember, you need to be a part of and to be subscribed to both the Wiki Curiosity Facebook page and YouTube channel, because like I said at the beginning of the show, there are some major changes coming up next year to Wiki Curiosity.
In 6 to 9 months.
Well, it's, yeah, 6 to 9 months. It will be about 6 to 9 months. Maybe sooner, but roughly 6 to 9 months. I know I've been saying that for a while, but we actually have some things locked in now.
Yes.
Some ideas in place. And this is all to better serve you guys. You know, to put a better, to give you guys a better experience. To give our listeners a better experience, and to broaden our listener base. You know, we want to get out there. You know, it's not about fame and fortune and everything like that. We
it's
just
not fun.
Yeah. You know. We here at the Wiki Curiosity Radio Network hope that you all have a very wonderful holiday season, a very Merry Christmas to everybody.
Absolutely.
A Happy Hanukkah to everybody.
Especially our friend Doc.
Yes. And, you know, whatever way you choose to celebrate this wonderful and joyous season, we hope you do so with love in your heart. You know, and while you are enjoying this holiday season with your family, with your friends and all that, I personally, from my heart, ask that you remember the ones that cannot be with their loved ones this year. All of those that have passed on, number one. And number two, all of those that are either working Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, whether it's, you know, as a diesel mechanic, as, you know, a police officer, anybody in the emergency medical services, anybody in the armed forces, anybody in, you know, police and security and fire and all that, or even in those, you know, stupid retail stores that are open on these days.
Well, yeah, and remember to be kind, because, you know, it's Christmas and everybody's in a rush, and your food workers and your retail workers, they're not there to piss you off. They're just trying to get their job done. They don't want to be there.
They are just trying to make a paycheck.
Yeah.
And
they would probably much rather be spending Christmas with their family.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, I've been on both sides. And I have been away from my family on Christmas. It is not fun. We also hope that you have a very, very happy and safe New Year. If for some reason we are not able to broadcast on Sunday, we hope that you get to where you're going and drop your keys.
Remember, there's always programs out there for free rides.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
So don't be stupid.
Don't be an idiot. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to drink New Year's Eve.
A lot.
I'm going to stay up. I'm going to celebrate and ring in the New Year. And then I'm going to pass out in my house.
Yes. And if anybody else is inebriated in my house, they will pass out here too.
Yes. Yes. Please, if you, you know, Uber, Lyft, taxi, there's so many options out there nowadays, so please be careful. Do you have anything else?
No, I hope everybody has a great Christmas. It's almost over. I know it's stressful, sometimes it's depressing, but it's almost over, so I hope everybody has a great holiday, great new year, and we love you guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on the Wicked Curiosity Radio Network right here on blogtalkradio.com. Remember to support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line to keep you safe, keep you protected, and keep you alive Also, you know, give the, you know, give your support and respect to the families of these people, because they are going through rough times too. It's not easy. It is not easy being a family member of somebody in the armed forces. Not easy being a family member of anybody that works in any type of emergency services. So, you know, give them the respect and support that they deserve and need. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays and a Happy Hanukkah from the bottom of my heart. I hope you guys have a safe and happy new year. We want you guys back here in 2020. You know, listening to
Thursday.
Us.
I mean, Thursday would be good too.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, I'm talking strictly behind the screen.
Okay.
Talking strictly behind the screen right now.
Yes, we will see you in 2020 and,
if we don't see you Sunday, Cinephiles will see you in 2020 because this is the last Cinephiles of the year. We are going to try and do a movie of the week on Sunday. Don't know what movie that is yet. We'll figure it out. But, you know, stay tuned.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Y'all have a good night.